This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison, and others for the 2023 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, June 16th and 17th in Chicago. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We got a question about the term gender-affirming care. One of our listeners heard a guest use that term, and also a question about what it means when Jesus allegedly says the kingdom of God is within you. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Here's some feedback from Paul regarding last week's interview with Terry Mattingly on media coverage of the Nashville Christian shooting. Paul says, I'm going to keep this short in regards to the poor young lady led so astray by the world that, as far as we know, gave her life for Satan. One of the reasons she ended up in that church slash school is, quote, gender affirming care, end quote. If this was what it says it is, she would have been helped and accepted who she was. That's not what it means. As Christians and conservatives, we shouldn't be using the language of Satan. The phrase itself is a lie. I understand Terry Mattingly is a journalist. As I understand what he says, he's also a Christian. Can we please quit using this language? It doesn't belong in Christian discourse unless we're going against it. He made them male and female. Affirm that alone. Thank you, concludes Paul.
I don't think that Terry was using the term gender-affirming care. I think he was actually citing a piece of journalism that used that term. I certainly believe that Terry understands that term as a euphemism at the very, very least. Now, if you would like to hear more on that subject, we actually did an interview with Walt Heyer, who lived for 9 years as a woman years and years ago, and then detransitioned. And we had a very interesting conversation with him. And the first question I think I asked him in our interview was, what do you make of the term gender-affirming care? And his answer was, well, if we did true gender-affirming care, we would affirm these young men as men and these young women as women and not encourage them to transition.
And you can find that interview with Walt Heyer. It was March 28th of this year, The Dangers of Gender-Affirming Care. Just go in the Google search engine in the upper right-hand corner at issuesetc.org. Type in gender-affirming care or Walt Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R. This comes from Dennis. Just checking if you're having technical difficulties this morning. I am unable to listen to various podcasts from Issues Etc. or The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
This is the first time I've heard about The Word of the Lord Endures Forever being included in the technical
difficulties. Oh, no, it's the same problem. No, it's the same. No, there are same problem, because remember, as we mentioned last week, it's the same server, putting the audio on the same server.
So thank you for continuing to keep us updated on the troubles that you're having. We are continuing to try and figure out why this is. This isn't happening all the time, and it isn't happening to everyone. It's happening to some people who are attempting to listen, and apparently, only at certain times of the day. We have explored several avenues. One was blocking some IP addresses that were making enormous ask requests of our website. So those have been blocked, to the best of my knowledge. The other one was to up the amount of RAM that we allocate for our virtual private server with our host there.
And stores our audio.
Although I've checked the RAM usage every day, and we don't even come close to using, well, now we're using half the percentage we were before. We never come close to using anything that would max out the RAM. But all I can see is one day's worth of RAM's use. And we are exploring the possibility that it might also be another part of our website's structure. But Jeff is thinking about this and working on this every single day.
Yeah, and we've been told by our IT experts that the doubling the RAM storage might take a couple of days. So I've only received one complaint this morning. One I just read was yesterday.
I believe I upped the RAM on Friday afternoon, and the website there said it would only take about 1 or 2 minutes for it to go into effect. But I don't know the technicalities of all these things. So it's been 1, 2, 3, 4 days, but no complaints except for one over the weekend.
No, only one today.
Okay.
One today. The other one I just read was from yesterday. I'll be glad when it's over with.
Me too.
Primarily for our beloved on-demand listeners, the most faithful and smartest podcast listeners out there. But secondly, it'll cut back my responding to email.
And
precipitously.
If you're having any trouble and you suspect that the trouble is on our end, then by all means, just shoot us a real quick email, because we need to know the nature and the scope of the problem.
Joshua, I was baptized in a non-Lutheran evangelical church years ago as a teenager. Now I'm 35 and recently left a Baptist church to attend a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation. My reason for leaving the Baptist church was because I was troubled when I would hear that Christ didn't die for the whole world, but rather he died only for the elect. Another reason was because I didn't think my church was taking the sacrament of the Lord's Supper seriously, as they would only have it once a month, and they also affirmed that it was a symbol rather than the true body and blood of Christ. I became convicted about this and wrestled with it, but it seems very clear from Scripture that indeed Christ is truly present in this sacrament. I am not yet a member of an LCMS church I am attending, but my question is, should I consider getting baptized again? Also, what should I tell my Reformed Baptist family when they claim that Christ is not truly present in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? I know Matthew's account of the Last Supper in chapter 26 is very clear on this. What other passages would be good to cite regarding Christ's true presence in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? Let's begin first with Joshua's question about rebaptism and then move on to the sacrament of the altar.
That's a very simple answer, and that is no. The baptism that you received as a, looks like a Reformed Baptist, the baptism that you received there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is a fully functioning, valid baptism. Now, what you believe about that baptism now will be different. You will look back on that baptism not as some sort of outward affirmation of an inward change in you, but you will see it as God's work to claim you as his child. Even though you may have had faith before that baptism, faith is confirmed in baptism. It is also given in baptism. So what you believe about it will change, but there is absolutely no reason that you need to be baptized again. And by all means, talk to a local confessional Lutheran pastor about this for more details and for follow-up questions. Always, always, always find yourself a good local pastor. The question about what should you say to your now Baptist friends and family when they say that Christ's body and blood are not present, you're on the right track. You point them to Christ's own words. What does Jesus say it is? And is there any indication in those accounts where Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, is there any indication that he doesn't mean it literally? I'm saying in the text, not in your reason and your understanding of physics or anything like that. In the actual words of Christ, is there any indication that he means something other than, this is my body, this is my blood? Does he qualify it in any way? The answer is, of course, no, he does not qualify it. That's why Baptists will say, well, I know what he said, but he must mean this isn't my body. Or this merely represents my body, which is another way of saying this isn't my body when he plainly says this is my body. Now, you ask for other Bible passages. Well, let's ask the same question of the Apostle Paul, who says he got this straight from the Lord. He said, what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you, 1 Corinthians 11. He got it straight from Jesus. And then he says that on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he repeats more or less Luke's account of the Lord's Supper. And he doesn't qualify Jesus' words in any way whatsoever. He doesn't try to explain them away. In fact, he pushes the fact that Christ's body is truly present and those who receive it unworthily blaspheme the body of Christ. He doesn't say blaspheme a symbol representing the body of Christ. No, they blaspheme the body of Christ, and it actually is having a physical bodily effect on some of them. Some of you have grown sick and fallen asleep. And elsewhere, when Paul deals with the nature of the Lord's Supper, at no point he had ample opportunity to explain that Jesus really meant this only represents. But he said, this is my body, but he really meant this only represents. Now, don't you think that if Jesus said, this is my body, but really meant something else, the apostle would explain that? Where else in the Bible, can you find me a single Bible passage where the apostle, Jesus, any of the other writings in the New Testament, where they say, oh, by the way, the cup that we receive, it just represents the body of Christ? No, Paul says, the cup which we drink, what does he say? It's a communion, a partaking of the body and blood of Christ. So given the opportunity to explain away Jesus' plain words, no one, no passage does it, period. I think that's where I'd go.
I was just Google searching. I remember you wrote a column responding to real absence arguments, but that was at our previous employer. Do you remember that column?
Responding to real absence.
It was an Issues Etc. Journal column.
I wouldn't have remembered it.
Volume 1, number 4, but it's not on our current website. It's on the issuesetcarchive.org website, Responding to Real Absence Arguments by Todd Wilkin.
I have a copy of it. It just popped up on my screen. And if you would like to have a copy of Responding to Real Absence Arguments, I will send it to you absolutely free. Just email me, todd@issuesetc.org, todd@issuesetc.org, and I'll send you Responding to Real Absence. I write these things, and then I just promptly forget that I've written them.
Is that a copyright violation? Because technically, that is the ownership of our previous employer, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
It just happens to be sitting right here in the memory of my laptop, and unpublished.
And how did you get it when we had to turn in Holy Tuesday, which is actually, this is Holy Tuesday. Holy Tuesday, we were fired in 2008.
Oh,
we had to turn
it
our
is.
Keys. How did you get that old journal column?
I keep everything. So,
would you keep it on a home computer, or did you steal something from LCMS?
I must have.
I hope they're not listening.
No, come on. I didn't write it on this laptop because I'm about 6 laptops away from that one, and I didn't write it on my synodically issued worst laptop ever constructed. I didn't. But that they accused me of stealing. By the way, the president of Synod.
The previous president.
Previous president
Gerald Kishnick
accused me of stealing the laptop.
Not our good friend, the current president, Matthew Harrison.
And I offered to, through the sainted Herb Miller as a mediator, I offered to take a trip over to the International Center and bring the laptop back. And I think I just gave it to Herb when he stopped by the house one day. But in any event, I keep everything. This is why I have all the passwords around here and all those kinds of things. I keep everything. And I don't know, somehow I kept this one too.
I smell a lawsuit. Sharon writes, will there be a follow-up interview with Dr. Joel Bierman regarding his essay on the Fifth Commandment and self-defense?
That has been requested by several listeners. And due to an oversight on my part in that interview, I didn't ask him a crucial question about self-defense. And I should have asked him that question. And so we are going to do a follow-up interview with Dr. Bierman on the 12th of April, am I right?
Yes, he was scheduled last week, but you had a family matter to attend to. You went to Iowa last week. It was last Wednesday. So he's been rescheduled for Wednesday the 12th. You're correct.
All right, good. That's next week, Wednesday. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line a little bit more. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. You can meet and hear journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway, LCMS President Matt Harrison, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, and Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic St. Paul Lutheran Church in the heart of Austin, Texas is glad to support the work of Issues Etc. I'm Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, pastor of St. Paul, and I'm glad we're part of this effort. Issues Etc. for decades has been the premier voice of Lutheran doctrine and biblical teaching in all of the world, and we're glad to be a little part of making sure that the work continues. If you're ever in Austin, stop by and visit us. All the information is on the website, stpaulaustin.org. That's stpaulaustin.org.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to be continuing to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, Easter Day, according to the one-year lectionary with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy.
Here's a short, sweet, succinct email from Jim. Please forgive the basic or fundamental or simple question. Is the kingdom of God within?
So this would be referencing a conversation that Jesus had in Luke chapter 17 with the Pharisees. So the Pharisees come and ask Jesus, this is verse 20, when is the kingdom of God, when would it come? They want to know, when is the kingdom of God coming? And Jesus answers this way. He says, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God, and this is how the English Standard Version translates it, is in the midst of you. Now, it has often been mistranslated that the kingdom of God is in you. It's not actually what Jesus says. He does say, among you. He's speaking about himself. Of course, the Pharisees don't understand that, and they don't believe it. So the kingdom of God, in this case, is referring to, well, wherever the king is. And since the king is in their midst, the kingdom is in their midst. Now, what's important for context, context is always king. What's important for context is that then Jesus goes on to talk about false kingdoms of God that come. And people are saying, look over here or look over there. He says, now remember, it's not going to be look over here and look over there. You're going to find the kingdom of God only where you find Jesus himself. So he says in verse 22, he says to his disciples, the days are coming when you will desire to see the days of the Son of Man and you will not see it. Remember, not by outward observation. And they will say to you, look there or look here. Don't go out or follow them. For as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So Jesus here is conflating his second coming, and he says it's the same kingdom that's coming. but it's going to be sudden, and it's not going to be by natural observation. And he ties it all back into his suffering and his death on the cross. Think about what's happening at the cross. The gospel accounts, especially Matthew's account. He's crowned with thorns. They put a royal robe on him. Pilate's soldiers start goofing off and mocking him, calling him Hail, King of the Jews. They say, Hail, King of the Jews. Pilate writes an inscription going over his head saying, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He wears that crown of thorns on the cross. So that's his coronation, and that's how his kingdom comes. So he really does answer the Pharisees' question when he answers his disciples. Their question, when will it come? He says, when you see me suffer many things and crowned with thorns and called king, there you know that I'm the king and the kingdom is wherever I am. So where's the kingdom of God now? It's wherever Jesus is. You say, well, isn't Jesus in heaven? Well, yes, he certainly is, but he is also here among us in his word and then in his body and blood in the sacrament. So where do you look for the kingdom of God today? You look for it where his word is preached and his sacrament is administered according to his institution. And there you found the kingdom of God. It's not so much a when as much as it is a where.
San Antonio, Texas, Jan or John, J-A-A-N. How would you pronounce that, Pastor Wilkin? You're from Texas.
I don't know. I don't think it's a particularly tech. J-A-A-N?
Yes, sir.
I guess I'd say Jan.
Just don't be gender affirming. Don't say if Jan, J-A-N is male or female.
We don't know.
We don't know.
All right.
We do know Jan or John or Jan resides in San Antonio, Texas. And he writes, I go to a Baptist Bible study on Monday nights. I love these people. But I can tell they think I'm some kind of pariah. Tonight, the leader asks, why did God create man? Their answer, to have a relationship with us. I asked if it says that in the Bible, and he said, not directly, but it's implied. So very weird. Surely there is a better biblical answer than this. I don't know why I keep going to the study. I suppose the food is good and I enjoy the company. My own church only has Zoom studies. No thanks. Love your show so much. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening. Jan, Juan.
Jan.
Jan in San Antonio, all right. Texas.
So, first of all, pastors, stop doing Zoom Bible studies. You're driving your people to the Baptists. Stop doing it. They have better food. Don't you know this? Stop doing Zoom Bible studies. It is no longer 2020. Now, can someone Zoom into a real Bible study? Of course they can, if they have to. But nowadays, guess what? We don't have to anymore. That was just my personal pet peeve. The question, why did God make man? And the answer, which seems natural to us, and it seems like it might kind of fit with that, you know, God is love, so that he could have a relationship with us, kind of puts God in the position of kind of a lonely, he's Geppetto in Pinocchio. He makes himself a little wooden boy because he wants a son. He wants a relationship. He's lonely. Kind of makes God out to be just like a kindly old Geppetto who makes a wooden boy and wishes upon a star that one day he might become a real boy. Well, that's not the answer Scripture gives. In fact, I think the Calvinists give a really good answer to this in the Westminster Confession. They ask not the question, why did God make man, which seems like kind of an impertinent answer or a question. They ask, what is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of man? And they say, to glorify God. That's a good answer. The chief end of man is to glorify God. God made man so that God might be glorified in making man and redeeming man and resurrecting man. And that's the chief end of man. So I think that's a good answer. This whole notion that God is kind of sitting in all eternity, feeling a little lonely, so he made a race of men so that he could have a relationship with us. It also ignores the chief end of man, doesn't it? Makes God out to be kind of a lonely guy. There is no loneliness in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in perfect relationship with one another and need nothing else. But it also confuses the chief purpose of man so that man just kind of becomes a pet or a friend to God. I wouldn't recommend the Westminster Confession for a lot of things, although it doesn't get everything wrong, but I would recommend it for that one question. What is the chief end of man? It is to glorify God and to live, I think they say something like live in splendor with him forever. When we come back from the break, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, Easter Day. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. We'll start out with all the things that Easter Day brings us. There's too much for one Sunday. We need a whole season. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
You can meet and hear Lieutenant Colonel Alan West at the Share in the Miracle Dinner Thursday evening, May 4th, at the Regency Conference Center in O'Fallon, Illinois. Lieutenant Colonel West is a combat veteran and former U.S. Congressman. Proceeds from Share in the Miracle Dinner benefit Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis. For more information, visit the Facebook page for Unity Lutheran School, East St. Louis. Share in the Miracle Dinner, Thursday evening, May 4th, at the Regency Conference Center in O'Fallon, Illinois.